I want to welcome everyone today to the Ohio Writers Guild podcast. For those of you that know me, know that I have five different lanes that I actually do a podcast in every single Monday, and then twice on the third Monday, because I also have a health and wellness podcast at 4 o'clock, just on the third Monday only. And then we don't do anything on the fifth Monday because we don't have that many five Mondays. That many months that have five. So the first Monday of every month, we talk about build a better business. For those of you that are listening, it's always the same Zoom code. So you can save the code and tap in anytime you want. But the first Monday of every month is how to build a better business. And right now we're talking about websites, and even authors need a website. So if you are thinking you'd like to have a website and don't know where to go with that, tap in on Mondays and you can see what we're doing there. Second Monday of every month, we do the Ohio Writers Guild, which is what we're doing today. It's all about authors and writers and bloggers, anything to do with writing. And then the third Monday is all about real estate. For those of you that know me, know that my passive income mainly comes from my real estate. So we talk about the six F's of real estate: how to find it, how to fund it, how to fix it, how to flip it, how to fill it. And then finally, what is your freedom number? How many of those do you have to do to make that day job optional? And then, of course, again, on that third Monday, we come back at 4 o'clock and do health and wellness. And then finally, on the fourth Monday, we talk about networking and connecting. And we have a little group, no agenda, and it's simply connections over coffee. Just bring your coffee cup, join in, and we just get to know each other and build relationships, which is what networking is all about, is building those relationships first. So I have an academy called the Kathy Benner International Academy, and all of those lanes are represented there. You can see all of our free meetups. You can click through and listen to all of the different podcasts. They're all recorded there. The link is there for all of those. And there's a way to connect with me as well if you wanted to have a private chat with me or with anyone else in the group. We have everybody is there. You can be a member of that. It's $25 a month to be a member, and you have access to the entire academy. So that is about me. I want to go over to Sandy next, and I want Sandy to tell us a little bit about her. Sandy is my co-host, my co-mod. And Sandy, while I'm thinking, I'm going to make you my co-host because my Wi-Fi has been a little wobbly today. So in case I get bumped out and come back in, you can let me in. So anyway, I'm going to turn it over to Sandy and let her tell us a little bit about what she does as my co-host, my co-mod. And then we're going to move on and get to meet Wendy. So Sandy, over to you.
Hi, thanks a lot, Kathy, as always. We started as a partnership about two or some years ago. I had asked if I could please talk about my writer's workshop. It meets in Yellow Springs the first weekend in August, and it's a whole weekend in which I only have two or three featured guests, so everybody gets to know everybody really well. It's a bit of a challenge because those three guests hopefully will speak about writing and publishing in an area where everybody in the room will be able to identify or take something with them, adding it to their notes, improving what they were already doing. So that's where I come from, and I'm gearing up for this coming August 7th, 8th, and 9th. I have a gentleman named Tim Wagoner. He's a tenured professor at Sinclair College in Dayton, Ohio, and he writes a lot. And he's quite in everybody in Hollywood's wheelhouse, because if there's a movie out that, boy, it would be really nice if there was a book about that movie, they'll hire Tim, and Tim will write the book on the movie. They're called movie tie-ins. So I'm sure he's going to talk a little bit about that. Horror is also his genre. So is mystery. So is creative writing, because he teaches all of that. But what is really, really good is how encouraging he is. With all his years of experience, and I knew him when he first started over 25 years ago, and his first story got picked up by a magazine. It's been a whirlwind. So everything from where does he work, how does he work out, where does he find the time, to how you can improve what you're doing, he'll be there. I'm building on another person. I'm getting ready to ask to see if she'll come on board. And it's really neat that everybody stays in the same banquet hall. We share lunch together, so you get an opportunity to really talk. And even when the presenter isn't up, someone else is, they're in the room too. Just in case there's a breather, a couple minutes, you can ask your questions. Community, as Kathy has said, is so key. Networking, finding other people. And so when you go to write a letter or make a comment, or if you know that, hey, Tim Wagner usually is in science fiction fantasy magazine, you might just put on your submission short story to them, I happen to know Tim Wagner, and he really said, put your story, try your story to this place. Just a name. I don't know. It sounds like an old cliche about name dropping, but it works.
Everything helps. Everything helps,
Oh, it
Sandy.
does. In all this crazy media world, that word of mouth and who you know is very powerful. So that's what I do. I have a website. I'll put it in the chat. Things will open up on January 1st with a discount until Valentine's Day. But I hope you'll consider it. I'll have more to say in specifics as the months go along. But it's always exciting. I think I know a lot of writers, but I meet people like Wendy for the first time. So I was like, yes, I get to add her to my list of who I know. So thank you for coming, and thank you, Kathy, for having me.
Oh, Sandy, thank you so much. This is a kind of a really special podcast for me because, of course, Sandy and I, we decided to hold hands for a while and with the podcast and her being my co-host and then her having the writers conference is just the whole workshop. It's just perfect. It's still my favorite workshop. I've been to several now. I went to hers first. I had never been to a workshop before. I went to hers first, then I went to several since then, and I still like hers the best. So that's a secret I'll share with everybody. So anyway, I now want to introduce you to Wendy, and oh my gosh, I'm going to tell you all about Wendy, but first I have to say I met Wendy on Clubhouse. For those of you that avoid social media, oh, I don't like it, I don't want to do it, blah, blah, blah. I actually met Wendy on Clubhouse, which was, they had just launched, Wendy, if you remember, they had just launched the Clubhouse thing. And I'm going to tell a little tale about myself that Wendy doesn't even know. I have all Android devices. And when Clubhouse first came out, they only came out on Apple. I actually went out and bought a tablet, an Apple tablet, just so I could connect with Wendy.
Oh, wow.
But Wendy probably doesn't even know that about me, that I wanted to connect with Wendy. And I actually went out and spent money and bought an actual Apple tablet just so I could connect on Clubhouse with Wendy. And then, of course, after a while, they came out on Android as well. But I still use my Apple tablet. So it wasn't all lost on the fact that I bought an Apple tablet. But that's why I bought my Apple tablet, was just so I could connect with Wendy. I fell in
Wow.
love with her energy and with her message. And with her heart, she definitely has a heart-driven business. And so I have been connected with her ever since. So for those of you that know me and that might be listening to this podcast later, you'll know that I have since been published, and that is all because of Wendy. So yeah, and that's a part Sandy didn't know. So that is why I am so honored to have Wendy with us today. So Wendy, and for those of you that are listening, take some notes. Wendy is a book coach, a business strategist, a keynote speaker, a five-time best-selling author. She knows her stuff, folks. So listen in, take some notes, okay? She helps entrepreneurs, executives, creatives from all walks of life turn their stories and expertise into powerful credibility building books. So, after a successful 25-year career in corporate sales, and we're going to talk about that, Wendy experienced a defining moment that led her to write her first book, a decision that completely transformed her life and launched her into a new mission, helping others share their message, elevate their visibility, and create impact through authorship. Today, she guides aspiring established authors through her book coaching programs, community events, and conferences, including Unleash Your Superpower and the Biohacking Business Conference. I was at both of those, by the way. Wendy believes a book is more than words on a page. It's a bridge to new opportunities, deeper purpose, and lasting legacy. I can't wait. I'm in my fourth book with Wendy, and it's called Think Legacy. So that one's yet to be published. So it definitely will create a lasting legacy for you. She's currently writing her next book, Reverse Engineer Your Future Self, focused on helping readers design a life they're meant to live by starting with the end in mind. So that is Wendy, my dear friend Wendy. Thank you so much for being here today. So this is so fun. I love that you're here. You spent over two decades in the corporate world before becoming an entrepreneur and author. What inspired you to leave, and how did writing your first book play a role in that decision? We get to hear a little more behind the scenes. We get to see how the soup is made. Wendy, tell us about that.
Wow. Well, first I want to say, Kathy, it was love at first sight. And it's so interesting for those that don't know, Clubhouse doesn't really have the video version of it, when we went on. So you'd only hear someone's voice. And I really think that that takes you to like drops you right into your heart. And literally, like when we met, like we became like instantly soul sisters. So I loved that so much. It's a lot of stress during those times. It was during COVID years, but look at how relationships are built because of technology and because of hardships, and things that you're going through. So I want to just say that you're so near and dear to my heart. And Sandy, I just love that you're so immersed in the writing world. So it's such an honor. I love that you are co-hosting together. So I worked in corporate America. That's all I knew. I mean, I graduated from college. It was a miracle I even got to college. I put myself through college working at Publix as a cashier. And then when I graduated, the only thing I knew, the steps for a living, was go to college. Because nobody in my family did. So they were all encouraging me to go to college, get a job, get married, have kids, be happy. That was it. That was like the roadmap. That was the only thing I had heard. So I took the first couple steps and I was working and I landed in the pharmaceutical industry. And it was a very conservative industry. And anybody who knows me knows I have this like creative side. Like I love to paint, I love to dance, I love to. I love to sing. I have this creative side, but here I was in this very ultra conservative navy blue suit, closed toe shoes, very polished, calling on doctors and hospitals. And I got a lot out of it. I got a lot of, let's call it corporate and sales training, which I so appreciated. And I worked with very good people. But there was always something itching inside. So in college, not only did I work at Publix, but I also started a walls by design company. And I would like do painting and I would do wallpaper. So I kind of always had this outlet. And I did while I worked through the pharmaceutical industry as well. I had a little boutique. I had a little wellness studio. Like all these little things, I would dabble in it. I'd have partners, I'd dabble in it. I created baby clothes when I started selling little baby clothes when my kids were young. And then I decided to design t-shirts, adult t-shirts, all around messages because I was really seeking. I was on a path. I was going through a difficult time. Now my kids were, I had been divorced and I'm raising my family on my own. And that's all I could think of was survival. And that was giving me some sort of outlet and some sort of way to heal myself, and I was writing these messages. And they were around healing and they were around inspiration and they were around mindset. I never even knew there was a thing around mindset, but I just started writing messages, things I wanted to create for myself. Like I wanted to be strong and courageous and fearless and powerful, but I really didn't feel like I was. I felt like I was on everybody else's agenda. So I just started putting the messages on the shirts. And then I would sell them at the kids' schools or at the church or, at like a little Saturday event, flea market kind of thing. And they were selling. And this one woman, and they a lot of women were getting several of them, the messages. And one woman called me, wanted to know when I was having more designs. And she said to me, "By the way, I don't wear your t-shirts."
Oh,
So this is me.
okay.
Okay. But she wants more. Okay. She goes, "Oh, no. I hang them around my room and I read them every day." And I went, that was for me, was like a light bulb. I go, so I'm trying to process this. She has them hung like with, thumbtacks or something on her wall, and she's reading
Yeah.
them. And that's when I decided, all the messages on the shirts were kind of inspired by a story. And I was like, let me put them into a book and share the story with the quote or message that was on the shirt. So that is what I did. It was an interesting thing that I started doing that. And then, but
Oh my gosh, Wendy, but here you are trying to survive, as a single mom, and you're doing the t-shirts. Now you're writing this book. I feel, I'm not as oh, I'm still a single mom, but my daughter's all grown up now and I've got grandkids and I still can't find time to write when I want to.
yeah, well, I got them involved. When they were little, I was making matching shirts. I had sons, so you can imagine I was making them match with me. Mom and son, no daughters, so we're gonna match with saying, little things. And I would put squeezy paint with messages on them. And so they were kind of getting used to me doing the shirts. The high school girls loved the shirts. Actually, I was commissioned by a college to do, and I started putting all around this one theme, what is your destiny? Because that was what I was asking myself, like, what is your destiny, Wendy? And I put my destiny is to be the CEO. My destiny, it was just coming up with things for college students too. And I was calling on doctors. One of my doctors said to me, "My kids are in college. Let them sell your shirts and I'll put $10,000 in your shirt business." Okay.
Wow.
So it started just kind of having a snowball effect. And I didn't even think of myself as a writer. How would I think of myself as a writer? But I was just writing these messages. I actually, this is a funny story. I'm hoping that I can get her over to our next conference in April. She used to do conferences before I knew you. She came and spoke at a couple of my conferences. Now she's the founder of Orange Theory. So her name is Ellen Latham. So she had a spin studio and a workout studio. That's how she got to be the founder of Orange Theory. I used to bring a notebook like this into spin class, and I sat in the back row, and that's where I would get my messages, like what I wanted to write on the shirts. I would get ideas. So I was spinning in the back of, in the back row. So I started writing them about fitness, and I started writing them, about all these things. I had a lot of messages. So that is how it happened. And then I was also on a healing journey. I was stuck in my life. I felt I was depressed a lot. I was going through a lot of mood swings. And I heard about hypnotherapy, and I was like, well, I need to learn it. Because I need it and I need healing. So I took a hypnosis training, and I knew if I just took the training, I was going to be completely immersed in it. And there was a woman who came in there to ask the owner of the company if he would speak at her conference. And during lunch, she came at lunch, she met me, and I told her my story. And she said, "Will you speak at my conference?" It's like I hadn't spoken to anybody. I mean, three doctors at a lunch table or something. And she said, "Will you come tell your the t-shirts, the story, and you wrote a book? I mean, about the you've got to come speak at my conference." I was afraid. What I mean to tell you, I was afraid I was going to be on a panel. I was like, oh my God, thank God I was going to be, but I was really afraid. So that kind of, that was, it kickstarted the whole thing with book writing. Once you write a book, then my friends and people were like, how'd you write a book?
Yeah.
Like, huh, maybe I want to write a book. Can you help me write a book? So like, I'll
I
show you
love
what I'm
that.
learning,
Now, how has your definition of success changed since you started aligning your work with purpose and helping others? Because then you started helping others. How did that your definition of success change? Because then your definition of success, I remember those years, single mom, trying to make ends meet, trying to figure out, what is my life really about? What direction am I really supposed to go? And my idea of success was just, paying the rent every month and making sure I had groceries in the house. So
100%.
what changed?
My success was how many sales, like it was all sales, what was going to be my bonus check, and if I was going to cover my bills, and how I was going to pay for my kids to be in college. So that was my, that, I mean, that was the only thing in
Yeah.
my mind. That was it, month to month and all the things. Oh, it completely changed. I did feel like I was making an impact because I worked in our HIV division. So I saw people, we were the second and third drug for the drug cocktail, but it something felt off inside of me that I wanted something more. And then when I started the t-shirts and really connecting with people and hearing them speak from their heart and soul, and then being able to really join minds together, to know that t-shirts were inspiring them. And then the books, people were telling me that the books were making such a difference. I put a butterfly, it was a cutout butterfly. The shirts had a butterfly on them. So I had a whole butterfly theme because I was like, the caterpillar. Yeah, the way I was figuring and morphing into something, hopefully, maybe a butterfly. So I put the butterfly on the shirts. I decided to cut out the back, and I had a message on the back. It was in an envelope. And then you took the butterfly out and you would put it in your pillowcase, and it would help you like manifest or sleep peacefully or, be at ease or cast a dream. So, I mean, so many people were telling me, wow, that butterfly, your book, your message, like it was helping them. And so success really morphed into, first off, maybe I can help more people than I had thought about prior. And then I could also feel fulfilled. I mean, it was really touching my heart and soul, whereas I was very corporate. I mean, they were telling us what we could say, when we could say it, how we could say it. And this gave me freedom.
I get that. So you went from employee to entrepreneur, and now you're a mentor and a book coach. So you've coached authors from all walks of life, executives, doctors, creatives, entrepreneurs, helping them turn their ideas into best-selling books. What do you think is the biggest barrier that keeps people from starting, and how do you help them move through that? Because I know we've got some folks on this call, they are also saying, I just want to write my story and I want to get published, and they don't know what they don't know. So how do you help them move through the barriers?
Well, I think that it all starts with one element, and that's making a decision. People stay indecisive. So you just have to say, okay, I'm going to do this. I mean, literally just say it to yourself. Just say it in an empty room. Okay, I'm going to write a book. Versus it being so, like, if it's intangible and so lucid, you got to grasp something. You have to say, I'm going to do it. I always lock myself in, like I'm locked in, so I can't get out. How I wrote that first book is I said, I am going to put money, skin in the game. Skin in the game will get you motivated. So,
Okay.
first, I was going to hire somebody who was going to help me write it, that was going to publish it. They weren't so much going to help me write it, they were going to publish it. And then number two, I said, I'm going to find a conference, and that woman Right. I started, I didn't know her just yet, but I knew that there were some entrepreneurial things going on. And I was like, I'm going to pay for a table at a conference and
Okay.
say I'm going to launch my book. So I'm going to do it backwards. I was studying hypnotherapy and I was really starting to embark in understanding neuroplasticity before anybody talked about it. So I was starting to meditate. The hypnotherapy is kind of blended with meditation and really aligning your thoughts. So I was like, all right, so I can align my thoughts with this and I'm going to write the book. So I think you just have to align your thoughts and make a decision. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, you're an author. Now say it. Say you're an author. Like, say I'm a published author. Until you can say I am a published author before you're an author, it's unlikely to happen. But if I say I'm an author and I'm not, so now I'm like, there's this gap, and there's this part of me is like, I'm a liar. I have to close the gap. Like, I said I'm an author, so maybe I have to take a step.
I like that. So you started the whole reverse engineering idea long before the reverse engineering idea.
It was birthed out of all of that. I cannot believe that I wrote down, and hypnotherapy was about really auto suggestion. So if you put in the thought, so if I put in the thought, but I didn't only just put it in, I put it down, right? I put it on a journal. So I always had a diary and was a journal girl. So I really took to the idea. When I was learning about autosuggestion and hypnotherapy, I took it literally and said, I am going to write in this book. And there was like no way in a million years I would know how to be a best-selling author. I'm going to write down I'm a best-selling author. I'm just going to write it down, right? If I'm going to suggest that to my subconscious mind, and 10% is our conscious mind, and 90% is the subconscious mind. I have to get to my subconscious mind. I got to talk to that part of me that has all sorts of stuff going in there and it's not good. All the things that are really in my subconscious mind are telling me I'm a loser. I'm like, all these things.
Like, I'm never going to get published.
Like, why me? And you're nothing. And it's look how old you are. And you have no money. Like, that's what my subconscious mind was telling me. My conscious mind was like, take the kids to school and figure out my conscious mind was putting me in action. Like, do the steps, drive the car, go get gas. That was my conscious mind. So there was no room in there for it to be like, oh, let's throw a dream in there. No, who had time for that? But my subconscious mind. So I wrote it down and I wrote down, I'm a best-selling author. And I even wrote down that I walk into Barnes and Noble. Now I started taking my kids, if everything connect the dots to Barnes and Noble when they were kids, and I would always buy them books. I had a philosophy. If you want a book, I'll buy a book. I don't know about a toy, but I'll buy a book. And I wrote down, I walk into Barnes and Noble, and there's a ginormous table, and it's filled with my book. The day I walked into Barnes and Noble, and there was a table with 50 books with a big picture of me on it. Do you know, I didn't remember I had wrote that down, but when I every now and then go back through some really old journals, I had written that down verbatim.
Yes, for those of you that are listening, that actually happened. Wendy had a large table with a big banner of her with all her books on the table.
And it was everybody's book. It was everybody's book. And I just had the dream to organize co-author books. So I had the thought, because then when I realized I don't want to do things alone, when I wrote that first book by myself, like I had to figure it out. I did have a table at an event. I had so much imposter syndrome. I couldn't even stand at the table. I didn't even sell any books. I had a banner of a picture of me and I felt like, who do I think I am with a picture of a banner with me? Real estate people do that. I can't do that. Pharmaceutical people, like, I'm gonna put a picture of me on a banner. I literally couldn't go in the room. I had so much imposter syndrome. So I was like, and then I heard about it. Like, you could bring together a community. And I was like, a community? I'm a community person. I want to be with people, right? And just like you've created here, Sandy and Kathy. I mean, it's amazing. A writing community. It's so daunting to do these things alone and trying to figure it out. I made so many mistakes. First off, I paid $10,000 for that first book. And the quality of the book, it's like the pages were falling out of the center of it. You know,
Oh,
so there
no.
were so, but what did I know? Right? What did I know? I did it. I paid for it and I got it done. I was proud of it. But actually, I wasn't so proud of it. I went to another event and there were authors like with really nice books sitting on the table. And a guy came in and he's like, I saw you online and I came to get your book. And he picked it up and I was like, I'm embarrassed. He's probably looking at the cover and the pages, like you could see the glue kind of in the center. You know, you don't know what you don't know. And so if
But
I,
you started. But you started. You did it.
did it. That was the first one of many, right? So you have to start somewhere. And that's what I say to anybody. You have to just start, and it's not going to be perfection, but you're creating your new identity. You're going to feel so good about it. I started to feel good about it. I felt good about it because then I created other products around it. I started creating some audios around it too, some CDs. And then, you know, I just was built, and then I hadn't resigned yet. So then I had this. All this was going on was building up my muscle to resign. I thought about resigning. I thought about it for years when and I was starting to do the shirts and everything. But I was like, how can I resign? Like, how am I gonna like make real money? Like money that really can pay my rent and things, you know?
Right.
Just
We get that question a lot in the Ohio Writers Guild. It's like, can you actually, make money being an author? Well, yeah, there's a million and one ways you can make money being an author. It doesn't have to be just from the book sale itself.
exactly. That's what happened. People started asking me for coaching and they were asking me for advice. I made those CDs. They were playing those CDs. I was selling the CDs too. So now I'm selling shirts, CDs, books, and I'm getting asked to speak. And now I'm starting to, and I'm sharing. I was never a polished speaker. I would speak like this. Like, and I think that people were just, you know, it was relatable.
I love it. I love it. You often say a book is a business card with a heartbeat. Unpack that for just a minute. And how does a book become a foundation for brand growth, speaking, and impact? Because that's kind of what we're talking about, where you can actually take the book and build something bigger around the book publication. Talk about that for just a minute.
Well, think about this. Think about a billboard when you go down 95. It can say all these things, right? Make all these claims. You can't meet people. You can't network and say, and I've been to networking. Hi, this is what I do. I help people, blah, 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 blah. My programs are blah, 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 blah. And people like are like vomiting all their stuff on you. All you do is meet them. It's so nice to meet you. I want to give you one of my books. And it's a gift. To me, it is a calling card that then people get to know you. And it's so much different. And also, it elevates your status. You're an author, people then kind of lean in, and then you sign it for them, or they buy the book and then they read it. There are people that have told me that a book stays on a bookshelf. It's much less of an investment than doing Facebook ads because the wholesale cost on your book is going to take a book that retails for 20, then could wholesale for $3.50. And then for $3.50, you're giving somebody a gift. It's that's worth $20, but also can circle back around to your business where they're going to hire you. There you can say, first, your story, why you do what you do. It's not just going to be information and selling. People connect with your story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I teach that in my first Monday on Build a Better Business. The very first thing we talk about is crafting your story, your hero's journey. And I love that. This is just such great information. I know you're currently writing the book, Reverse Engineer Your Future Self. Now, again, you were reverse engineering long before you started to write this book. What inspired you to finally put this in a book, and how does it connect to the personal growth and legacy themes that you teach?
Well, I've lived it. I've lived it and breathed it. So for me, if I perish, I'm going to cry. I can't even say it without crying. If I perish, right? My children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, like it leaves a legacy. It changed my life. It blew my mind. I can't even imagine my life if I haven't stumbled on this path. And for me, it was like connecting the dots between the hypnotherapy and my history, my history. And there are a lot of components to the reverse engineering. And I haven't seen anybody put it together the way I have put it together based on my life experiences. And that's the legacy that I want to leave in the world.
I love that. Let's talk about the aspiring authors. We have some authors on the call today. I am just kind of reading through the chat. And yes, I see where, let me scroll down here. Sandy put her information in there about her workshop. David Loring is with us, and he's written some things for us to read. So thank you for that, David. I appreciate that. See if anybody else has left anything in the chat.
You're welcome, and thank you for this. Very, very pleased to
Yes.
have joined this meeting.
Yes. Thank you so much for being with us today. Wendy, for someone who's dreamed of writing but feels overwhelmed or uncertain, where should they start? What's step number one? Because again, we don't know what we don't know. And so what's step number one? Very basic.
It's community. It's get with a group that inspire you. When you see somebody you really don't even want, like I can't look at Oprah and say, I want to do what Oprah does. You don't want someone that's 200 steps ahead of you. You want someone that's a few steps ahead of you that remembers just a few
Yes.
years back when they got started, who is willing. Some people hold secrets. They're always making you pay for what's step two, what's step three? Oh, that's $300. That's $1,000. Someone who is willing to peel back the curtain and take you by the hand. I love that you offer so many complimentary free programs. And community is the answer. You need a role model. There's no one who has done it that has not had a mentor in any area of their life without having a mentor, a guide, a coach, someone who has held their hand and walked them through the path.
I certainly agree with that, Wendy. Again, I want to circle back over to Sandy for a little bit. I actually, when I attended her workshop, I got so much out of her presenters and speakers, but I got just as much out of the community at the table where I was sitting with other authors, and I could read some of their work, and then we would share how we got started, or you know, little tricks and hacks on getting across a deadline, for example, or how to find, you know, that neat little bookstore that nobody else knows about, that'll take the books and actually help promote us. And so it's all those things that come with community. So Wendy, I certainly agree with that. Now, what's one misconception that people have about writing a book that you love debunking?
I would say it would be the best-selling status kind of thing because it
Okay.
seems like so big, right? It's doable. It's doable because you're going to focus on a certain area, a certain category with your book. I think that's really important to think that through. And there are a lot of different ways. For example, it's through relationships. I had met she is the chief operating officer of the LA Tribune. And then you can apply to get best-selling status through their program. And so many authors that have come through and have worked that, you know, that I've worked with. Somebody even yesterday on our call was saying that she got best-selling status. So nobody quite knows how to do that, you know, and or it looks like you can't really do it, but there are a lot of ways that you can do that.
Okay. So convincing yourself like, oh, I could probably get published, but I'll never be a bestseller. You're saying that they should put that thought aside, that they very well could be a number one bestseller.
If I could be, they can be 100%. Right. Like, you know, if you can be an author for all the people that weren't authors and you're an author, so you can be a best-selling author. There are a lot of different ways and debunk the whole idea that is really hard and you can't do it. So right away, I hope that inspires that there are a lot of different ways and programs that you can apply to, and even getting some sort of recognition from a college, a university. I publish things for universities and do some bulk sales. There are a lot of different ways to do these things, to get the credibility, to get the endorsement, to get endorsements for your book, as well as status, best-selling status, et cetera.
Yes, I agree. And Wendy, I know it, same as you do, that oftentimes writers are sometimes a little introverted, not always, but some and many are. And so they finally make that decision that you're talking about, that they are going to write the book. They're going to do it. So they do it and they figure it out and they push their way through. And now maybe they've decided they're going to self-publish. And so now they're getting published and now they're stuck because they're like, I have no idea how to market this thing. And so what you're saying is there's a million and one ways that they can get some credibility, get their name out there, get book signings, get things going. And yes, sometimes you have to step outside your comfort zone a little bit if you're an introvert to do some of those things, but it's all possible. And it's so much easier inside a community where there is more folks doing it than just you, which is why I totally love the collaborative book efforts. Because now if you've got, and I'm just giving an example, and Wendy can give several, but let's just say you have 10 authors that are all going to collaborate in a book on a particular topic. You now have 10 authors pushing that book in the right direction, not just you in your back bedroom saying, well, what do I do now? I got a box full of author copies and I don't know what to do with them. And so now you have a community that's putting together different events and different programs, and they're coming together as a collective and they're all pushing, as I like to say, they're all pushing the cart in the right direction at the same time. And so you've helped launch dozens of best-selling books in that with that strategy. What strategies, in addition to that, do you use to ensure a book not only sells, but positions the author as a thought leader?
Well, there are two things. You just touched on the book signings. I think creating content around it, you can get in Barnes & Noble, and that elevates your status. That was very challenging for me to figure it out, but it's figure outable. Like everything is figure outable. It just means that you're not going to be able to do it through the vehicle of Amazon, right? So you are thinking of different ways that you can get yourself out there. I think people are a little reluctant to create content and post online, but fall in love with marketing. Marketing sounds like sales and it sounds like it's taboo. So I'm going to share this one story as well, that this woman told me that literally, like from reading my first book, and she was reading the message about healing, and she was taking her friend for chemotherapy every week, that just reading that chapter gave her friend courage, gave her stamina to be there for her friend. Someone not reading your book is not giving somebody an opportunity to learn and grow. I saw in the chat, there's someone who's a musician and, you know, all different jobs. So someone's not reading about how to become a musician, the messages in your songs. So fall in love with helping people. And know that your book, like you hold your book. I think everything's sacred. We don't just go through the motions. Like hold your book, make your book sacred. And then Think of it like you're casting it out into the world, like you are a baby, like a child. So you want to market it. You want to stand for your book. You want to really like love your book and people know that you're passionate about it. They can feel it. And then if you help one person, what if you change one person's life? It's like speaking to 100 people in an audience because I produce a lot of events around the book launches. But I also know that that's another vehicle of helping people. If you help one person in the audience, it's worthwhile to prepare yourself to speak to 100. And I think about that. Sometimes I've spoken free, really, in a lot of different situations. They've asked me, and I walked into a church once and they asked me to speak there, and there were like 20 people there. I said, wow, there's someone in here that is called to hear my message today. I'm gonna show every part of me is gonna show up big. I wonder who that one person is. That is why I'm called to be here today. Instead of, oh, look at the room. You know, it's that way with your book. But if you don't market it, then someone won't know that you exist and won't hear your message.
I tell my students all the time, Wendy, that your audience is already out there waiting for your message. You wouldn't have the message if there wasn't an audience already waiting to hear it.
It's so true. I just so true. I love that.
They're asking for your contact information already, Wendy, to put in the chat under everyone. But I got a couple more questions. Once a book is published, what is the smartest way to leverage it for speaking, media, collaborations, or community growth?
Well, first, just put together a speaker one sheet. So know what you're, make it easy for someone. So have your topics and then make it easy for them to market you speaking. So you have a professional photo. If you, when someone wants to speak on my stages, as long as they have everything together, that's really helpful for me. If I have to start trying to get that stuff, it's not going to happen. So make it easy and make yourself known. And I say go volunteer to speak everywhere. I've spoken at soup kitchens, nonprofits, all sorts of organizations. Go in and volunteer. Speak your best. Someone's going to be in the audience and then they might have an opportunity. But just get your message out there and go live online. I know it's scary. Go live, start with three people. I'm going to share this one story. I used to, when I started doing things, there would be like 10 people. I started like a book club. I started all these things. And then now when I look at an audience, I'm like, wow, but you have to put your reps in. You have to put your reps in. And then people will start talking about you.
Absolutely. I put my contact in the chat under everyone, kathybinner.com. You can go there. That is my, it takes you right directly to my electronic business card. And I do have a speakers page there that has my speakers one sheet. If for those of you that are listening want to see what that looks like, and we're going to get Wendy to put her contact information in the chat under everyone. And so you can see what her information looks like as well. Wendy, I've got one last question. How do you help your clients think beyond the book to build systems, offers, and opportunities that grow from it? And again, we understand that they need to do it, but how do you help your clients think beyond the book? How do you help them change their thinking? And that's probably the toughest part because, again, we don't know what we don't know. As for me, I change my thinking because I know Wendy and I see what she's doing and I see what she's teaching. I hear what she's saying. And so I changed my thinking and I've created an entire academy. So anyway, Wendy, how do you get your authors to change their thinking and look beyond just the book?
I think a lot of it has to do to get all the ideas out of your head. Anybody, I have a mind map. If anybody wants it and you email me, I'll send you the mind map. You just have to get it out of your head. You're in the center of there, and then you have to start with like your ideas, where your ideas, like I did it with the t-shirts. Like, where are you going to get those t-shirts at? I can go to a church. I can go to a fair. I can go to, so like you do that with you have to just start there, get it out of your mind and get it down on paper. Mind mapping is how I start with everybody, that's writing their own book, and I use it myself, like mind mapping really for everything. But you have to take some time for yourself. Do it, know yourself. Know, is it best for me to do that in the morning when you're creative and you're open and you're feeling good? It's hard to do it if you're not feeling good, or like your environment's not good, if you have a partner that's not supportive. Like, get in a good space, like go to a coffee shop, like, go out in the woods on a go sit on a park bench. Right. And then here's my favorite. And Kathy, I talk about this all the time because I'm really passionate about your identity with the reverse engineering. So you have to talk to your future self. You have to say, like, I'm turning 65 this year. I've been talking to 65-year-old me for 5 years. So now I'm talking to 66 me, 70 me. I have to talk to me now and say, girl, you're still young. Girl, you still got it going on. Girl, you still got energy. You are still on stages. You are still writing books. You are still living life. You're helping more people. Oh my goodness, you're even more relatable. But see, like, you have to practice, because if I just start saying I am helping people, yeah, I'm helping people. You have to like get it out and hear your tonality. Take your phone and the audio on your phone and voice record yourself in your identity. You're going to hear incongruencies. You're going to hear your voice shake. You're going to judge yourself and go, I don't like my voice, and blah, 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 blah. So that, start working on that. Start getting in alignment with the future self, the person that you want to become, and talk to that person.
I told myself just the other day, Wendy, that when I'm 75, I want to be getting on the airplane and I want my cabana boy to be putting my luggage up over top because I'm off to Paris. I did say that out loud, by the way. I get
And
it.
when you say it with conviction, I have
Yes.
wanted a mountain house for 5 years. I have been saying it and saying it and saying it. I'm here. This is
Yes.
the mountain house. We're here. My husband's been saying no and no and no. We're here. Like, you got to realize that people around you might say no. You continue to hold the space. You say it and say it and say it and write it and practice, like, I hope I can do that. I don't think it's too late, right? I don't think I can do that. You have to catch yourself. That's all in your subconscious mind. So there's healing that has to take place. There's a lot of healing that has to take place. So heal yourself so that you can then start moving towards and be in your worth. Practice your worth, your deserving, and your value. Say that to yourself every day. I am worthy at the age of 75 to have concierge putting my suitcase up in the luggage bin. I am worthy of flying business class. I am worthy. Like, say these things. I'm worthy of being on a stage, even when my.
Wendy, I have to change my vision now because I was just happy to be in coach. So now I have to say I'm going to be in business class. I want to kind of close down all of our conversation today, but I do want to say one more thing. Watch for opportunities, and here's why. I was telling myself from the time I was 12 years old that I wanted to be a published author. I didn't even really understand everything that goes with that when you're 12 years old, but I was definitely a bookworm. I had stacks of books. I lived way out in the country on a farm, and for those of you who may have heard of this and may not, we had the bookmobile. And it would look like a big Winnebago type van, and it would come by full of books because we were out in the country, and it would stop on a certain day at a certain time, and all the neighborhood kids would walk down this road, even as much as a mile away, to get their books for the summer. And then we would have to carry our books back home. And my mom and dad even had a book bag for me to put my books in. And I would get as many books as I was allowed to get. I don't remember how many that was. I think we were allowed to get maybe 5 or 6 or whatever. I would get the maximum number I was allowed, because I wanted to make sure I had enough books to read before the bookmobile came again so that I could then turn them in and get 6 more. Anyway, I did that every summer. And that's probably a freaky weird thing that happened in out in the countryside in central Ohio. I don't know. We were in the middle of a cornfield, so I don't know. But that's my love for books was like that. So I told myself I wanted to be a published author someday. I didn't have any idea what that was going to look like. And so I started all the way through, like Wendy, I was a single mom. I had to pay the bills. I had this career. I switched to that career. I moved on to yet a third career. I finally retired from all of the careers. Now I had, you know, a little bit of the financial stability with the passive income to do retirement. And it wasn't until then that the opportunity kind of fell into my lap to join Wendy in a collaborative book effort. And I've since done 3 books with Wendy. I'm doing a 4th one coming this coming April. And I recognized the opportunity. I recognize the opportunity to reach my dream. So start looking. Those opportunities will come by and you don't want them to pass you by. And for you to go, oh, I could have done it, but I didn't. I wanted to do it, but I didn't. And you know what? That very first collaborative book effort, Wendy, I actually went to the finances and said, am I going to spend the money? And I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, this has been your dream, Kathy. Write the darn check. Just write the check and figure it out later. And so that's what I did. So, and again, Wendy, you may not have known all of that about me, but that is how I decided. And again, it started with the decision. I just decided I was going to do it. Doggone it. I'm going to do it. And I did. So thank you for that, Wendy. Thank you so much for being on the call today. Wendy put her contact information there, wendybloom@gmail.com. You can connect with me at kathybenner.com. And Sandy put hers in earlier, and it is just sandy@intothesprings. Is it the whole word, Writer's Workshop?
Intothespringswritersworkshop.com.
Yes. So hers is a long one, but she's in the chat. And I will put all 3 of those in the replay of this particular interview so that folks that tap in later can actually see all of those links. I'll have those included. So any last words? I just want to say thanks to Wendy and thank you, Sandy. Any last words from you, Sandy?
Nope. I agree. I was a bookmobile gal myself. So
okay. So you know what the bookmobile is.
It was exciting. It was an exciting day. Wendy, what has been, do you think, the most, what has been consistent through all these experiences? Can you identify a consistency that seems to thread through them all for you? Oh, wait.
Are you referring to the books themselves? Or are you talking about
yourself?
Personal.
Yeah, yourself personally. You in the corporate world, you in the mother world, you in the getting the thoughts and the ideas together for writing world. Is there anything that you can say has been pretty consistent? A trait or a task or... you've always eaten chocolate ice cream with sprinkles through it all or something like that.
Yeah, I would say really struggle. So I would say the struggle has always put me on a path of problem solving and survival. Like I had survival. My mom, we moved around a lot. And my mom was married, I don't even know how many times, 8 or 9 times. My mom later in life went to jail for 15 counts of felony. Okay. You know, there were so many times that I just felt like I was so choked up. And I somehow stumbled. I feel like I got lucky early in life that I ended up getting that job to Publix and then putting myself through college.
Okay.
So that I built a resilience muscle.
Resilience. Yeah.
I can figure it out. If I could figure out how to do that, then I could figure out other things, and the things continued to be really wonky.
Yeah.
I believe in prayer. I believe in God. I believe in getting centered, and I believe I'm not alone.
Okay.
I would say that.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Thank you.
That's perfect. I love that, Wendy. Thank you for sharing that. Wendy, any last words from you for our authors group?
My last words are just as often as you can, just say something kind to yourself. Build yourself up. Don't look for the people around you to build you up, because they might not. You might have people around you that don't tell you that you're amazing or that they love you or all those things, or like nurture you. So nurture yourself. Be your own best friend. That's what I wish for everybody.
Thank you so much for
Thank
that.
you, Wendy. Okay.
Thank you. I
Bye.
love this conversation. And Wendy, thank you. And so I'm going to send over all the links. Please use them in full or in part, however you wish. If you can use any part of this in any of your marketing, please feel free to do so. And Sandy, thank you as always. Can't wait for the workshop again. And
Thank
we
you.
will see everyone next time.
Yes,
Thank you,
take care.
everybody, for tuning in
Thank
today.
you. Have everybody. Sandy, it's been an honor. So great.
Yes, it has. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.